Should get those out. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We started this a few Sundays ago, the book of Acts. We're going through it chapter by chapter and more or less chapter by chapter. I'm kind of doing verse by verse too. Last Sunday was Mother's Day. If you were here last Sunday, we talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Sunday before that, we talked about whenever the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, we receive power. Everybody said amen. The Bible teaches that there's two different baptisms. There's water baptism and there's spirit baptism. And that's why I'm telling everybody to read the book of Acts. And I'm going to do a little teaching on this. I love teaching about this. Just so you know, me, most of you do. But kind of my background is I was raised Southern Baptist. Not Northern Baptist, but Southern Baptist. That's a joke. There's a difference, yeah, a huge difference, polar difference. Sweet tea. And I thank God for my Baptist roots because I learned about salvation. But after you hear it every Sunday for so long, you start realizing there's got to be more to this than just salvation. And I'm not knocking salvation, hear me out, but there's things that God wants to do in our lives and our walk with Him. After we get saved, that's the greatest miracle that can ever happen to you. But then He wants us to learn more about Him and what He wants to do in us. And there's more too, and there's always more with God. Even after you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's still more. That just opens up even more. I got away from the Lord for a season in my life. I got married to a Pentecostal girl. She was raised in Assembly of God Church. And we got married, and after our first year of marriage, we were starting to talk about having children. And one of the things that we began to talk about was we need to get back in church. And so we started going to an Assembly of God Church in Elk City. And that's where I learned about what I'm going to teach you today about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'm going to give you a resource, if you were like me, that's a really good resource. It's called The God I Never Knew by Pastor Robert Morris. And it's a really good book about him teaching about the Holy Spirit. God the Father's in heaven. Jesus is at His right hand making intercession for us. The only part of the Godhead that's on the planet Earth here with us is the Holy Spirit. And so, and He's our comforter, He's our helper, He's everything. He's our teacher, He's our guide, He's here to help us live this Christian life, because you can't do it in and of yourself, amen? You can't do it by willpower. And so, the first place I ever shared the gospel or got to preach was at a Methodist church. I'll never forget it. I taught the whole book of, or the whole chapter of Luke chapter 15, and I had somebody from that church come up to me afterwards and said, "You told me more today than I've heard in a year sitting in church," just because I just took them through the whole Luke chapter 15. So that kind of gives you a little background on me. And so whenever I've been in both camps, so to speak, and there's good Christian people in both camps, amen, we're all going to the same place, we're all on the same team, I began to learn, God, I want to know, what is the full gospel? What is this gospel of the kingdom? And so I began to dig into Scripture and started learning for myself, okay? And yes, there's great teachers out there, and I would glean and listen, but you also have to be careful who you listen to, amen? And I wanted to know the absolute truth, not a half-truth, not part of it. I want the full gospel. And so that's what I'm going to teach you today, all right? Everybody ready? Everybody ready to learn something today? All right, this is in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Everybody say rushing mighty wind. Okay, and it says, "And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And we're going to touch a little bit on this tongues issue, but I'm going to do a whole nother teaching here maybe next Sunday or in a few Sundays on that subject. And some people, I can already feel a pushback just already saying, and it may be online that I'm feeling the pushback, this was you know, the book of Acts. This is the Acts of the Apostles. This doesn't apply to us today. Oh, no, it applies to us today. The book of Acts, we're the sequel to the book of Acts, okay? That book of Acts is still happening today. One of the things that's always fascinated me is languages. Jade and I went on a cruise where we heard other people speaking other languages, and I just like to sit and listen to them. I'm like, what are they saying? You know, it's just so fascinating. I mean, we heard Croatian. We heard all kinds of languages when we went on our trip. And it made me think about in Genesis chapter 11, this is a whole other teaching, but this is where the Bible says that the earth was one language and of one speech. And we often think when we read the Word of God, we're thinking, well, what language and what speech was? And we all think, because we're English, we're like, well, they all spoke English. Well, the number one language on planet Earth right now is Mandarin, okay? So, and I don't know what we're going to be speaking in heaven. We may be all different dialects, we may be one, I don't know. But when you read Genesis chapter 11, that's when the Tower of Babel happened. And that's where God confused the languages and gave people different languages, and it says they were scattered abroad. And the reason why is because at that particular time, they weren't scattering. They were all holed up together, and they were one language, one speech, and God says, we got to go do something about this. And so, and I'm not, that's a whole nother teaching, that's a whole nother deal, so we may get to that sometime too. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we learned last Sunday that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and yes, you receive the Holy Spirit when you're saved, but there's another baptism that Jesus does called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, it releases more the fullness of the Spirit in you to help you grow in the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Jesus. But also, he gives believers gifts. And these gifts are not just for people that stand in a pulpit or leadership in a church. They're for every one of you, all right? Every one of you in here are a gift from God, and God wants to give you gifts. Now, God don't give gifts to just everybody. It's not just willy-nilly, all right? What we're going to learn about here in the Scripture is God gives gifts to people that, and this is what's been my prayer, Jade, and I prayed this on the way into church this morning. My prayer for all of us, including myself, is that we would begin to desire spiritual gifts, because that's what the Apostle Paul says, that that's when they're going to come, is when you desire to flow in this, all right? And it's not, and here again, it's not just for Sunday morning at church. All right, God wants you to flow in this at home, in your marriages, in your families, in your workplaces, at school, your universities. He wants the gifts to flow, all right? Don't just put God in a box on a Sunday morning at church. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." All right, and basically what he's saying is that's not stupid, okay? He's just saying, I want you to be taught. I want you to, you're uninformed right now, and I want to inform you about spiritual gifts. In verse 2, it says, you know, and this is what I've learned, most people in the body of Christ are ignorant. Notice I said most, and I'm not pointing at any of y'all. Most are ignorant, because they just haven't been taught the word. Verse 2 says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And this word, I underlined also spiritual, and that word spiritual in the Greek, because the New Testament was written in Greek, is pneumatikos. It's also where we get, some of you guys in here know about pneumatic drills, which means that they're powered by air, okay? So when you go back to that now concerning spiritual gifts, pneumatikos means empowered by breath or wind, and that's why I wanted you to repeat rushing mighty wind in Acts chapter 2, all right? So if you go back to now concerning spiritual gifts, he's saying now concerning gifts that are empowered by the breath or the wind of the Holy Spirit. So if you're flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the whole, if you're flowing in those gifts, God is breathing through you onto his people. Amen? I want to let God breathe through me. Amen? All right. It's in verse 4. In verse 4, it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each. Everybody say each. Each one, so it's for everybody, for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right? And so the Holy Spirit is charismatic. All right? And that word charismatic, most of us know the definition in our society is, you know, when they say, oh, that person's charismatic, whether it's a man or a woman, they say, well, that just means they're gifted, right? And in the Word of God, the word, this is what charisma means. Charis means grace, and ma means gift. So the Holy Spirit, that what charisma is grace gift, is the instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of any believer to exercise a gift for the edification of others. All right? So that's what charismatic means. If you've heard, well, that's a charismatic, we're a charismatic church because we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe we're going to flow in the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to move, and we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some people say, well, the gifts of the, you know, I don't know how you can look at the Word of God and say the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. Okay? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but how many of you have had a miracle from God in your life? Okay, pretty much everybody in here, okay? God's a miraculous God, and he's still doing them today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So the word charismatic comes from the Greek word charisma, which I just said, which means grace gift. If you have a gift God gave you by grace, you're charismatic. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, tells us to be not to be ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has all nine gifts, and he manifests them through each one as he wills. Any believer can move in any of the gifts when they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The gifts are to be used to bless other people. Now, here's what I want to say, and I know this may ruffle some feathers a little bit, but you cannot claim that I have a gift from God. Okay, or the, one of these gifts. Because the Bible says that he moves severally as he wills. You can say, I'm a charismatic Christian, and I flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it's whatever he wants to use at that moment. Amen. Now, you may, and I want to paraphrase this a little bit, because there's some people here that you've been healed in your body. So you have a faith there that I don't have to believe for that, for even for other people. Everybody got that? But God's still got to flow that gift through you. Amen? All right. So just what I'm trying to say is don't get hung up on, oh, I've got this gift, I've got that gift. Let them all flow through you. Amen? And say, I'm charismatic. And I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I want every one of them to flow through me. And everybody said, amen. Okay. I'm giving you a lot of stuff today. You're not going to leave here ignorant. Today, look at somebody and say, I am not ignorant. You're not going to leave here ignorant. If you do, it's your fault, okay? I'm just telling you, because this is some good stuff. There's 21 gifts of God that I have found in Scripture, and we could camp out here all summer long on these, but there's 7 motivational gifts, which are found in Romans chapter 12, meaning, and I've heard one pastor tell it like this. He said, the motivational gifts come from the Father. Okay, means it's kind of like in your DNA, you were born with it. There's 9 manifestational gifts, which we're going to learn about today, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives those gifts to anybody that he wants. And then there's 5 ministerial gifts, which are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, you know. And so Jesus gives those gifts. So it's the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. So that's a good way to remember those. And they all start with M. That's a preacher thing. Motivational gifts, manifestational gifts, and ministerial gifts to help you remember those. All right. There's 3 categories of gifts. We're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. There's three categories of gifts. I love this is what theologians have come up with. I love it because it makes a good three-point sermon, three-point message. And they all start with D. And the first one is declarative gifts, which that means you're declaring with your mouth. So there's tongues, prophecy, and the interpretation of tongues. We're going to talk about each one of these today. Number two is the discerning gifts, which are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. And number three, there's dynamic gifts of healing, faith, and miracles. Okay, and we're going to go into each one of these. How many of you already flowed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you know it? Okay, there's several hands going up in here. All right. You're going to keep flowing, amen? And you want to flow more in this. So we're going to start off with the declarative gifts, and these are the ones that you speak out of your mouth. And the first one is prophecy. And this means a message of encouragement from God through a person. And it always brings, listen to this, it always brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. I want to just preface this. If a prophetic word comes as a criticism, that is not from God. I don't care who it's coming through. Amen. Does the Word of God correct? Yes. Yeah, do we need leadership in church to help, you know, bring in the Word of God? The Word of God does the rebuking and the correcting. Amen. But what I'm saying, a word of prophecy is always going to, the Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's just a few chapters over. By the way, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. None of this works if you're not walking in love. Faith works by love. The gifts work by love. Okay? And so, and the reason why I'm really big on this about prophecy is because I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1993, so I've seen a lot of things. I hadn't seen it all, but I've seen some things, and I had a gentleman one time that came to me, and this has been years ago, and he really thought he was God's prophet, okay? He thought he was God's watchdog, okay? There's already red flags going up right there, okay? And he came to me one time, and he had his Bible out, and he was using a scripture out of Proverbs to correct me, okay? I'm not saying that I'm above correction. I'm not, okay? But the manner and the spirit which this gentleman was doing it was not of God. But he literally thought he was God's messenger to me. And I had to stop him, and I said, whoa. And I just said, that's not how you use the word of God. I'm not going to let you use that word to beat me up. And we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And we just stopped it right then. And lo and behold, he didn't. I thought we were going to have a fist fight. You know, I thought we're going to go from the spirit to the flesh. But we didn't go to the flesh. He left, you know, and I was like, praise God, you know. I handled that in a righteous way. But I'm just trying to teach you some things that prophecy is always going to edify, exhort, and comfort. If there's any correcting going to do, it's going to be the Father. And he can discipline his kids. And he knows how to get. Jada's had to let, she's had to duck I don't know how many times and say, Holy Spirit, get him, which is actually the Father getting me, discipline me, okay? So let God do that. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's tongues. Tongues is a message from God in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. And then there's interpretation of tongues, understanding and expressing the thought or the intent of the message in tongues. Now, I want you to get this. It's an interpretation, not a translation. And everybody said, amen. So, how many of you ever heard tongues and interpretation of tongues? I have. Okay. All right. Some of us in here have. So, you can have somebody give a short little message in tongues, and there'll be a long interpretation, or vice versa. A long message in tongues and a short interpretation. But it's an interpretation. It's not a translation. It's somebody giving you the thought and the intent of what God is saying through that person. The tongues and interpretation of tongues. So it's not a translation. And let's go into 1 Corinthians 14. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church, which is, they were so charismatic, it's not even, we can't even imagine how charismatic this church was, okay? They were crazy charismatics. And so he comes in as the apostle, and he's not trying to tone them down or anything. He's just trying to give them structure and order and telling them these gifts are to be used to bless other people, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, this is the Apostle Paul. I love what he starts off with. He said, pursue love. Okay, that's chief. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That's the next thing. We all want to leave here desiring spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, meaning you're speaking for God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So here's the deal. I'm not going to get in this teaching today, but there's two different. You have your own private prayer language, and then there's tongues and interpretation of tongues, okay? In your private prayer language, it is used to charge your battery, to encourage you. That's the best way I can tell. You're encouraging yourself. You're actually encouraging your spirit man when you pray in the spirit, all right? So verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I love what the Apostle Paul says. He says, and you're going to have to deal with this, okay? Because this is one we all have to, let me just read it. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Southern Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Catholics, Pentecostals, Charismatic, I mean, we can just go down. Apostle Paul's saying, I wish everybody spoke in tongues. It's in the Word of God, people, New Testament. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, okay? And a lot of, if some people that don't believe in tongues, they try to quote that scripture to you and say, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but you got to deal with that, first of all. But then they stand on this. But even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. And then they stop right there. And they say, see, you're supposed to prophesy, not speak in tongues. Okay? Now, that's just their way out. They're trying to cop out of not believing the Word of God. And so I wonder, what I've always told you, Bible interprets what? Bible, okay? And to read scriptures in context. Don't just take something out and highlight it for yourself. But it says, everybody say, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Okay? Now, jump down to verse 18 in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here's Paul saying, the apostle Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Okay, there he said it. He said, yet in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Okay, so he's saying there's a place for this tongues and interpretation of tongues, but he was talking to the Corinthian church because everybody was speaking in tongues, right? And there wasn't an interpretation that was going on, okay? And so it was confusing to anybody that came in that was uninformed or an unbeliever, and I'll show you that here in just a second. Now jump down to verse 23. It says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind or crazy? Is that not what most people think about Pentecostal people and charismatics? Yeah, exactly. That's that scripture right there. So this is the Apostle Paul trying to bring decency and order into the house of God. But he says in verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and is convicted by all. The word of prophecy just meaning, you know, that the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and all that kind of flows to that gift of prophecy. And I call it reading my mail. Somebody just read my mail. It's like they knew exactly what I went through this week, but it was spoken in English, and it ministered to me, and it brought encouragement, edification, and comfort. Amen? Okay, so it's convinced by all. He is convicted by all. Verse 25, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. That's what we want happening here. Amen? I'm not saying that we're never going to have tongues and interpretation of tongues. I was in a meeting one time where there was tongues and interpretation of tongues. It was done decently and in order, but everybody there knew that God spoke. Amen. And so there's ways, this is the Apostle Paul coming into a very charismatic Pentecostal church trying to bring decency and order. In verse 39 it says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done in decency, be done decently and in order," is what he tells the church. And that's a big reason, guys, why that you don't hear me on a Sunday morning speaking in tongues. Do I pray in tongues? Yes, I do. I prayed in tongues this morning. And there's times up here in the altar that I will minister that way too, because I'm trying to get the mind of the Holy Spirit. But the reason why I don't do it up here while I'm preaching, teaching, or whatever, because I'm not interpreting it. If I was just up here speaking in tongues, y'all would be thinking, golly, he is crazy, and I don't understand a word he's saying. Amen? Now, if I was up here preaching, speaking in tongues, and interpreting, that's a different story, okay? But so that's why you don't see that happening here on a Sunday morning like that, is because and I'm not saying like on a Sunday night, we're going to have some Sunday night services where it'll be mainly for believers and all that, but on a Sunday morning, we have people that come in here that are uninformed and unbelievers. And if I was up here doing that the whole time, they'd think I was crazy, all right? And that's why they leave here and they'll say, that church. I always told somebody, one of these days I'm going to start another church. If God ever told me to start another church in my lifetime, I'm going to name it that church, that church. A little story to go with this, and I'm going to do a whole nother teaching on tongues later on, maybe next Sunday or next couple of Sundays. But a story that I heard, and I'm glad that I heard it early in my ministry, was from a pastor in Clovis, New Mexico, who was a very charismatic Pentecostal man of God, preaching machine, okay? And he got up and was weeping when he told this story at a pastor's conference that I was in, and it just really resonated with me. And he was teaching Pentecostal and charismatic pastors like an apostle on how to conduct your services on a Sunday morning. He said, there's times, you know, that's why you have different meetings. Amen? Okay? And we need to have different meetings here so that we can flow in these gifts and get comfortable with it so that you can go out into the workplace and flow in it. So, anyway, this pastor was talking about how, from Clovis, New Mexico, he said, I finally woke up one day and he goes, I've been pastoring for 10 years in this community in Clovis, New Mexico, and our church had always stayed the same, 150. We never got over 150 on a Sunday morning. And he said, I'm going to tell you what, we had church. He said, we'd swing from the chandeliers, jump pews, you know, hoop and holler, you know, speak in tongues and all this stuff, right, on a Sunday morning. And we'd do it Sunday night, we'd do it Wednesday night, we'd do it every time we met. And he said, I finally woke up one day and I said, why are we still 150 after 10 years? And he said, so I began to pray about it, and the Lord spoke to him and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start interviewing guests that come to your church, visitors. He said, okay. And so he said, man, we had church one Sunday. We had church. And he said, I noticed this new couple that was there, and he said he was military. And he said, I noticed they really got out of there really quick and after church was over. And he said, so I called him. They filled out a visitor's card. And he said, so I called him up and said, hey, I'd like to come visit. Yeah, come on by, Pastor, you know. So he said, I went by and visited with him. He said, I went in their house. It's a very young couple, very, very good couple, somebody you'd want to have in your church. And he said, hey, I want to get some feedback from you from the service on Sunday. You know, something I'm doing is interviewing guests and visitors that come to our church. And he said, and I noticed that y'all left really quick, and I didn't get to greet you and everything. And this guy goes, well, Pastor, I don't know what was going on in your church. But he said, because I don't know the word, is what he was telling him. And he said, but I sat there to be respectful for you and the church. He said, but I got my family out of there because your church scared, and this is his exact words, I'm going to say it, your church scared the hell out of me. And he goes, well, I appreciate your honesty. And he said, this pastor said, I went outside, and he said, I grabbed my steering wheel, and he said, and I just began to weep. And he said, I repented to God. And said, he said, God, show me a better way. And God took him to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 said, this is the better way. And he said, I'm not saying that you don't flow in these gifts and those things, but there's a time for that. But on Sunday mornings, you have uninformed, uneducated people that and unbelievers that don't understand the Word of God. And the first miracle that they need to have happen is salvation. And so he said, I had to turn the ship in our church. Said some people didn't like it. Some people left. But he said, well, when we turned the ship and we started doing this, like on our Sunday evening, you know, times and our Wednesday night services, and he said, but on Sunday morning, it was more evangelistic. Yes, the Spirit still flowed. Everything happened. But he said, our church began to grow. And they're like 700-800 today. Their church has really grown. And ever since I heard that, I was like, that's the kind of church I want to be like. I want to have a balance of the Word and the Spirit. A balance of it. Okay. All right. Now we're going to the next one. And we're going to talk more about tongues later on, interpretation of tongues. All right. Is the discerning gifts. The discerning gifts. Everybody say that. The discerning gifts. All right. So here's where we have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, okay? And here's the word of knowledge, to know something specific without knowing it by natural means. The Holy Spirit just reveals something to you about an individual, okay? And it's always to bring edification, comfort, peace, you know, and encourage them. Word of wisdom, a divine answer or solution for a particular event. How many of you like to have wisdom for your business? All right. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit. He wants to be your business partner, okay, and lead you in life. And then the discerning of spirits, to be made aware of the presence of a demonic spirit. How would you like to know if there's a demonic spirit trying to attack your marriage or your family or your business, okay? God can make that aware so that you know how to pray and come against that and do spiritual warfare, all right? I had somebody tell me one time, and you might say it was a prophetic word, but it wasn't like correction or anything. It was telling me to encourage me to pray. And it said, as a pastor, because of where you're located at, right here on this corner, he said, when people come by, they're having thoughts and even saying things in their vehicles against your church. Some of them are even Christians, by the way. They don't have a clue what's going on. And this prophetic word to me was, you need to encourage me. You need to pray as a pastor, lead your church in this as well. And so I'm going to give you a little tidbit. I don't think I've ever shared this story, but that's why I told everybody in here, every time you drive by here, stretch forth your hand and bless the church. Okay? And keep doing it, by the way. But ever since I received that prophetic word, that word was encouraging me to pray because there's been word curses spoken. Well, how many word curses have been spoken over your marriage? Or word curses spoken over your family? Or word curses spoken? The jealousy and envy is from the pit of hell, okay? And it even flows through Christian people, and it shouldn't, but it does. And so that's why we have to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh, amen? And that's why we need to pray and cancel those things. Now, I'm going to go back because I'm going to read you a few. Everybody learning something today? Everybody? Okay, good. We're going to go back, and I'm just going to highlight a few scriptures here that go with this. This is the word of knowledge, to know something specific without knowing it by natural means. This is John chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm going to read this to you. I didn't put all these scriptures on PowerPoint, as you can tell, but I put them on there so you can see them and write them down. But John chapter 4, verse 18, and I'm going to read just a little bit more. I'm going to read actually 16 through 19. It says, Jesus said to her, this is the woman at the well. And he said, Jesus said to her, go call your husband to come here. And the woman answered, Jesus already knew this. But you might be saying, well, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He stripped all of his divinity off when he became a human being. And he's teaching us how to flow in this. All right? And so Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Verse 17 says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you've well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Duh. You know, he just read her mail, is what I'm saying. And that's the word of knowledge coming through Jesus to minister to her. Now there was a reason for that, is because do you think she listened to him after that? I bet she did, yeah. And you can go on and read the rest of the story, all right? And then she gets saved, and she goes and tells everybody about Jesus, and the whole community gets saved from one word of knowledge. Isn't that awesome? Just one word, just one little simple word of knowledge at the watering hole one day, all right? I've seen this flow in my life. I've seen it flow in others as well. I love the word of knowledge. It just lets you know, man, God knows my address. You know, God knows what's going on in my life, the word of knowledge. I'll never forget one time I was ministering with a presbytery team, which is a lot of fun, but it was one of them deals where I'm not going to be teaching, I'm not going to be bringing a message. It's just that we were going to a church to just minister and flow in the gifts. And I can remember leading up to it, I was very nervous because I'd never done this before. And so I'm praying and fasting and like, God, if you don't give me something, because I'm not saying nothing. If I don't have nothing, I ain't saying nothing. And so I'm just going to go and tag along, you know. And thank God there was two other guys that went. And so we went, and I've been praying and fasting. And we stayed in a hotel. It was in Norman where we went to this church at. And stayed the night in a hotel. And the very next morning, and this is why I'm sharing this story, because you need to start paying attention to your dreams. Now, not all dreams are from God. Some of them are because of the pizza you ate the night before, or the tub of peanut butter in my case. But sometimes God speaks through dreams to us. It's all through the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. And so right before I woke up, I had a dream about, all I saw in this dream was somebody breaking into something, okay? I woke up. Don't normally dream about those kind of dreams, somebody breaking in. And so I thought, well, I don't really know what this is. Maybe it's something's going to come up in the service. You know, you start trying to rationalize it using your own mind. And here's a novel idea. When you don't know, just submit it to the pastor. Amen? And so I didn't know. So the pastor of this church was someone else. It wasn't me. And I was just like, when we get with the pastor and pray before service, I'm just going to submit it to him because he may know what to do with it. So we get in there, and we're all praying for the service, and my old heart starts, you know, doing that. And I knew that I needed to let the pastor know this. And I'm like, have you ever had that feeling like, I'm going to let this out of my mouth, and I pray to God I don't look like an idiot, you know, that because I did eat a big steak the night before. I did come off my fast before this service so I'd have some energy. And so I said, Pastor, I'm going to submit this to you. I don't know if this means anything. I even said, I didn't come out and say, thus saith the Lord, you know, watch out for them guys. I mean, I was prefacing it. I don't know, but I feel like that this is from God. It may just be the steak I ate last night, but this morning I woke up, I had this dream that somebody, you know, somebody was breaking into something, and he just looked at me like this, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's not resonating, I can tell. Knock, knock, nobody's home. And he goes, Mark, he goes, our church was just broken into about a week ago. And I was like, really? And then I didn't know what else to do with it then. You know, so thank God I wasn't the lead guy on our presbytery team. And I looked at him and he said, well, he goes, what I believe that we need to do is just come against. He goes, for that to happen, there must be some kind of spiritual residue. I love that word, spiritual residue still here that's not from God. And God wants to clean house before we ever get in there today, you know, and it may have affected some of the people that call this their church home. So we just prayed that, and that was just as simple as that. Just prayed, got that rid of that spirit of fear, and went on and had a great service that morning. So that was just a word of knowledge being spoken through a dream. So pay attention to your dreams. Go to John chapter 9. I love, this is so good. This one, I love this one. You may have never seen this in Scripture before. I really hadn't either until I was studying this, and this is just so good. The word of wisdom. Jesus operated in the word of wisdom a lot with the religious leaders of his day, and when he operated in it, they just could not combat him. They just had nothing to say. It was just, word of wisdom is like, in our in our culture, word of wisdom is like mic drop, okay? That's what it's like, all right? Word of wisdom from God, you know, take it or leave it. John chapter 9, verse 29, it says, and this is the guy that was healed that had blind eyes. in, I love this, here's the religious people of the day. It says, we know that God, John 9, verse 29, says, we know that God spoke to Moses, as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. They're talking about Jesus. And so the man that had been healed of blindness answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from, yet he has opened my eyes. Verse 31 says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Verse 33 says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? Oh my gosh, can you see how self-righteous that is? They're telling this guy, you were born in sins, and you're teaching us? And they cast him out. All right? And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, but that was that word of wisdom that just flowed through him to the religious people. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. That word of wisdom just stopped the religious people right in their tracks, but they still came back with, golly, you know, you're a sinner. And you're teaching us? Gah. That religious spirit just, I hate it. It's bad. Don't get caught up in that. All right, here's the third one, discerning of spirits. Everybody say discerning of spirits. All right, this does not say the gift of discernment. Okay? Nowhere in the Bible are you going to find the gift of discernment. It's the discerning of spirits. If somebody says, I have the gift of discernment, mark my words, most of the time, let me clear this up. Most of the time, they've got a gift of criticism, okay? That's their gift of discernment, all right? So it's called discerning of spirits. And everybody said, amen. This is Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to show you the Apostle Paul flowing in this gift. Acts chapter 16. Even when somebody was speaking the truth, they were saying true words, but there is not the right spirit. Acts chapter 16, and in verse 16 through 18, it says, now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Okay? Don't go to palm readers or any of that stuff. You're going to hear stuff that's going to be true, but it's not from God. It's the spirit of divination. And everybody said, don't do it. Don't listen to you. Don't read your horoscopes, all that kind of, that's all spirit of divination. Look to the one who made the stars. Amen? That's who you look to. Verse 17 says, she's following him, telling these guys, and this is what she says in verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Is that the truth? Yeah, that was the absolute truth, but there was a spirit behind it trying to muddy the waters. Okay, Paul knew it by the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, it says, and this she did for many days. So I think Paul was trying the discerning of spirits. He probably caught on to it the first day, but he was like, Lord, is this really you? Because I don't have a good feeling in my spirit when this woman is shouting this. All right. Verse 18, it says, and this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you, he didn't say to the person, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out that very hour. That's discerning of spirits, okay? You think you could use that gift out in the marketplace when you're doing business deals and things, discerning of spirits, so that you're aware of what's going on around you? Yeah, you can. You can use this. That's why God wants to give you these gifts, and they're all available to you so that you can use them in life and have that abundant life, okay? And so that's why God wants you to flow in these gifts. It's not just for a Sunday morning. It's not just for people that stand in the pulpit. All right, here's number three, dynamic gifts, the dynamo gifts. These are faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. We'll get to working of miracles here in just a second. But the dynamic gifts, the faith, is a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. Okay? I'll say it again. a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. How many of you need faith and would like God to just, you know, give me some more faith because of some things I've been going through? Right. Okay, I'll never forget that there's several times this has operated in our life. I'm talking, we all have to have faith to believe in Jesus. You have a measure of faith, but I'm talking this gift of faith is something that helps you get through a rough patch. Okay? There was one time Jada, whenever our son went home to be with the Lord, and if you know our story and you know Jada's story, she's had a lot of death in her family, okay? A lot of loved ones that have passed away went home to be with the Lord. And whenever Jaden went home to be with the Lord, I can remember one time Jada looked at me. Thank God we have each other, because there's been times I've been down, she's lifted me up, times she's been down, I've lifted her up. She was having a down time. Thank God for the gift of faith. Amen. And she looked at me through tears in her eyes, and she said, "Mark, who's next?" Guys, I need faith right then. And I said, "Honey, we just got to have faith and trust in God." Okay. A few weeks later, we go to Oklahoma City because our daughter had some of you have heard this story before, some of you have. A few weeks later, we went to Oklahoma City because our daughter had to have her tonsils removed because she had sleep apnea really bad. We already had this planned before Jaden's had passed away, and so we kept that appointment because we knew we couldn't, you know, and I'm telling you guys, it was scary. You're talking about a spirit of fear that we were battling in the home. And we get to the hotel. I'd set up, you know, have our hotel. And the weekend that Jaden passed away, we'd stayed at a hotel, a Holiday Inn, a Holodome, where they had a pool and everything. And we went back to stay at this same hotel for Taya's surgery. And when I walked up to the lady, it had only been just like a few months ago, I walked up to the lady and I said, you know, we need a room. She gave us the exact same room that we had when we'd been there. And I just turned white. And I know the lady was looking at me like, "Sir, is there a problem?" I was like, there was a part of me that said, "Just can you give us a different room, please?" And then I felt the Holy Spirit inside me saying, "No." And I said, "Okay, thank you." And I was walking out of there, and all of a sudden I felt this faith and boldness rising up, and I was like, I am not living like this. I am not living in fear like this. So I go out and I tell Jada that we got the same room, and she looked at me white, and I said, "Honey, we're going to go in there." And the first thing that we did, and Taya was with us, we went in that room. She was 4 years old. We went in that room. We got on our knees down by the bed, and we prayed, and we said, "God, we're not dealing with this anymore, and we're not dealing with this spirit of fear. We're not going to live in fear of who's dying next. Taya's going to be okay at this surgery, and everything's going to go smoothly because we're putting our faith in you." And there was that spirit of faith rose up in both of us at that time. And we went, and the surgery went great, and everything is good today. But that was there. I'm going to tell you, though, thank God for that gift of faith, but not too long ago, I had to have it again because my little grandson had to go through the same surgery. And those same feelings came back up. That same memory came back up. And we had to do battle in prayer then. Thank God for the gift of faith. Amen. All right. I'll never forget the first time. How many of you cast out a demon before? Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. Good. Some of you, a few of you in here. I'll never forget the first one. I pray that every one of you get a chance to do that, by the way. Don't go looking for one, okay? There's plenty of them out there. But if you ever come across one, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to cast it out. All right. But the first time I ever came across one was in a little child. And I'm telling you, there was a manifestation. Not all the time there's, and I don't want to say that there's a manifestation all the time, but there was in this situation. And I'm telling you guys, I'm going to just be honest with you, in my flesh I was scared. And I wanted to run. I wanted to go get another preacher, okay, another pastor, another Christian to cast this thing out. But all of a sudden, this gift of faith rose up and said, "No, we're going to deal with this right now." And faith overcomes fear. Amen. Thank God for that gift of faith. All right, the second one is gifts of healings, supernatural endowments of divine health. Most people, a lot of people don't believe in the gifts of healings today until they're sick, you know. And then they want somebody to pray for me that believes in the gifts of healing. Amen. And it's still available today. And you can lay hands on the sick and see them. It says a believer can do that. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And here's the deal: you don't have to get all churchy about it. I've done this at ball games. I know somebody's not feeling well or they need healing in their body or maybe they're even in a wheelchair. I'll just go by and touch them. And I'm believing in my mind that when I touch people, they're going to be healed. Do it incognito. You know, flow in these gifts, all right? There's ways to do it. You don't have to have a church service to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Here's the last one, the working of miracles. And this is divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. God still does miracles today because he is a miraculous God. And this is Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That word power is the word dunamis in Greek, which where we get the word dynamite from. But the working of miracles is still going on today. Yesterday we went to a graduation party over at Weatherford, and I was talking to a guy that does a lot of traveling in his ministry. And at this graduation party that we were at, and he was telling me, and I've talked to Leroy and Janice about this too, about Africa, but he was talking about over in Africa. And the deal over there, these people have nothing else to believe in but God. You know, we don't realize over here in the States how many idols we really have. And he was telling me this situation where they had a service, and I mean these people are coming for miles and worshiping. They don't care if it's outside, inside. They don't care about air conditioning. They don't care about carpet, what color the walls are, or how beautiful it's decorated. They're just there to worship God, and they're there worshiping. And he said, Mark, it was so incredible. He said the atmosphere. He goes, the atmosphere was just charged with God. Like anything can happen right now, you know. And he said, I just can't describe. He said, there's little kids coming up to the altar just worshiping and crying, and just the presence of God was so strong there. And he goes, in a few days, we worshiped for hours like that. Really wasn't no preaching or teaching at that time. He said, we just worshiped for hours, God just moving amongst his people and doing things. And he said, the next night, there was testimonies. And he said, and this lady got up. Talking about working in miracles, she didn't have one hand laid on her, okay? But she said during that time of worship, she said, God came all over me, and she had had a wreck where she had broke both of her ankles, and because she didn't have the money to get the right surgeries done on her ankles, they grew back all gnarled up, okay? And she could barely walk. In fact, some of her family had to just basically carry her wherever she needed to go. But during that service, and she had many witnesses around her of her family and friends, but during that service, she was just worshiping God. Nobody laid hands on her, but the power of God came on her, the working of miracles. And they said they could hear snapping, cracking, popping, but it wasn't hurting her, but God was miraculously restoring her feet and miraculously restored her feet to perfect in that long. They said it was powerful. And Lord, let that happen in the States. And everybody said, amen. We need to just get our focus on God. And I want us all to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for in church. It's for in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, at school, your university, wherever you're at. God wants you to flow in these gifts. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. The greatest miracle, the greatest working of miracle is salvation, all right? And if you're here today and you've heard this teaching and you say, Mark, I want to flow in this, I want to walk in this, the first step is you've got to follow Jesus. He's the leader. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. If you've never done this, we're going to repeat it with you. If you're saved today, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word today. God, I just pray for every one of us here today, God, that we would just, we desire, God, the spiritual gifts, just like the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church. God, we desire them. God, we want to flow in them. God, all nine of them to flow through us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And so, God, we're leaving here today, God, desiring these gifts. Lord, we've been taught from your word what these gifts are, how they operate. God, we're going to look more into them as we continue in this series on the book of Acts. But, God, this has just been an introduction to all of these gifts. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd begin to seek and desire these gifts to flow through us, God, in Jesus' name. Flow through us in our marriages, in our families, in our relationships with other people. God, with workplace, in our workplaces. God, I'm praying for marketplace miracles, God, in Jesus' name, to flow through this house, Lord, that we're going to begin to hear those signs, wonders, and miracles following your believers, Lord, wherever we go. And God, help us to believe for it. Help us, there may be times where we do need to make it public, but God, just help us to flow in it just under the radar, God, and incognito, God, just flow in it. Help us to be aware of your presence at all times, God, and just to flow in these gifts and to be a blessing to other people, God, to bring more people. And the whole reason is for this baptism of the Holy Spirit and for us to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to bring more people into the kingdom of God. God, that's the whole reason. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're baptizing us afresh today, God, in Jesus' name, God, that we're going to flow in these gifts, God. And I just pray just a special blessing over every person here today. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up this morning. And Jade and I are here to pray over you. If you need special prayer, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss because it's right at noon. And I know we have baccalaureate this evening at 7. For those that can come be a part of that and celebrate with our graduates of 2022. But I want to speak this blessing over you today, okay? I'm going to speak the one out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, you're gifted. You're gifted. Amen. You're gifted. You guys are gifted.
Takes more than a minute.